KNOM Update News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur, and it's 12:02. The Alaska House of Representatives passed a sweeping education bill Monday night, but only after removing some of its more contentious elements and adding another pot of education funding. At the stroke of midnight, the House voted in favor of an education bill that nobody seemed particularly thrilled about. According to Eagle River Representative Laura Reinbold in closing remarks, it gave schools too much money.
I'm concerned that this isn't sustainable.
To others, like Anchorage Democrat Jaron Tarr, it was too little money.
The bill in front of us now will lead to additional cuts.
But in the end, a large majority of the House agreed with Anchorage Republican Craig Johnson.
I will not sacrifice the good for the perfect. I will not say no to something that takes us forward, even if it's baby steps.
The final vote was 28-11, and the split was largely on caucus lines. The bill was introduced by Governor Sean Parnell as the marquee legislation to what he dubbed the education session. Included in its 60-odd sections are provisions that encourage vocational education, set up a grant program for new charter schools, and allow students to earn credit for testing out of classes. But the two farthest-reaching components of the bill were not a part of the governor's original bill. They were additions the House Finance Committee made last week, and neither survived the floor session. One restructured the teacher retirement payment plan so that the legislature would stretch out its pension obligation over time by making appropriations from the state's pool of tax revenue. Governor Sean Parnell has advocated for an opposite approach that involves putting a large amount of money into the retirement trust up front and then ideally paying pensions out over a shorter timeline with the help of investment earnings. Representative Kathy Munoz, a Juneau Republican, successfully brought forward an amendment, wiping the bill free of all changes to the retirement system. During her floor speech, she noted the plan included in the bill would stretch out retirement payments an extra 40 years and cost the state $15 billion more than Parnell's plan, according to an actuarial analysis.
The risk of continuing to balloon the unfunded liability is real, and in turn, the impact to our credit rating is also real.
The other major part of the bill that was scrapped dealt with the school funding formula. The House Finance Committee had tweaked the formula in a way that favored large schools without including a similar boost for small schools. Representative Bryce Edgman, a Dillingham Democrat who caucuses with the majority, offered an amendment restoring the original formula. He said the formula change had not been properly vetted. He also framed the amendment as a matter of fairness, acknowledging that while the urban schools need money, so do the smaller schools. Edmund's amendment also added $30 million in one-time school funding to the bill. That's in addition to an increase to the base student allocation that's worth $225 million over 3 years. By comparison, the governor proposed increasing per-student funding by $100 million over the same period of time. While some Democrats in the minority said the funding package on the table was better than nothing, it still did not go far enough for most. As a caucus, they offered a failed amendment that would have put $450 million toward the base student allocation, stretched over 3 years. Democrats also attempted to get rid of language in the bill forbidding the state from spending money to implement Common Core standards, which they noted resembled Alaska's own standards. They also tried to limit a new tax credit so that would only cover contributions made to public schools, not private ones. None of their amendments were successful. The bill will now be sent to the Senate. The mining conglomerate Rio Tinto announced yesterday it is divesting its stake in Northern Dynasty, the owner of the proposed Pebble Mine. Rio said in December it might sell, but in a surprise move, the company said it is donating its 19% share to two charities, the Alaska Community Foundation and the Bristol Bay Native Corporation Education Foundation. Rio CEO John Sebastian Jock said in a statement the donation would ensure Alaskans will have a say in Pebble's development. The foundations didn't immediately announce what they will do with their minority shares in the project. The director of the Bristol Bay Education Fund said in a statement the gift will help the foundation fulfill its mission. In the same written statement, BBNC Chief Executive Jason Metrokin said the corporation's opposition to the mine hasn't changed. The copper and gold mine has drawn widespread opposition, and an EPA study recently found it would pose irreversible harm to the region's rich salmon runs. Bristol Bay Native Corporation has been one of the leading groups opposing the mine. Rio's stake was worth nearly $25 million late last year, but Northern Dynasty's share price plunged last month when the EPA announced its assessment of Pebble, which is the company's only major asset, and the price fell again yesterday. Last week, Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski raised the issue of synthetic drugs with Attorney General Eric Holder. Speaking at a Senate Appropriations Subcommittee hearing on the 2015 budget for the Justice Department, Murkowski used her allotted time to address the ongoing impact of drugs like spice on small rural communities in Alaska.
I would suggest also, and I present this to you, Mr. Attorney General, that we are seeing an increasing level of synthetic drugs that are coming into our communities and doing great damage.
While national attention and interdiction efforts have been brought to finding drugs like heroin and marijuana in the mail system, synthetics are relatively new and present unique problems. During the hearing, Holder was shocked that loopholes allow banned substances to make it into small communities through the Postal Service.
And the drugs are coming into the community through the mails and
through the post office?
Through the United States Post Office, Madam Chairman. Yeah. Again, we're seeing, I don't know whether we call it an epidemic, a crisis, but we are being beat on these issues.
Matthew Felling is a spokesperson for the senator. He says Murkowski became aware of the issue after a visit last summer to a small community in western Alaska where the effects of the drugs were vividly apparent. Felling said that with synthetics coming into Alaska from other states and countries, federal agencies need to view it as a national issue.
But Senator Murkowski was committed to making sure that Alaska's problem had the ears of the highest profile authorities. And we are not so naive as to think that Alaska is the only state with rural areas that are suffering from this. So any visibility that she could give to it was an opportunity she was going to seize.
But Felling says, given the difficulty combating synthetics with traditional enforcement policies, action needs to come at every level.
The awareness and the crackdown is what needs to happen next. Instead of just adding more legislation, we want to come up with more follow-through and more informed follow-through and a better, greater community awareness to push back.
While Murkowski brought the issue to the attention of the Attorney General, there are not yet any concrete measures proposed for increased interdiction and interception measures for the mail system. Sunday was the first day of whaling season for St. Lawrence Island, and the community of Savoonga harvested a 26-foot bowhead. Early April is right on schedule for the whales' northern migration to their calving grounds in the Chukchi and Beaufort Seas. The last census of bowheads reported to the International Commission on Whaling by state and federal agencies showed the stocks rebounding after concerns over depletion decades ago. Gay Sheffield of UAF's Marine Advisory Program says the increased population size combined with the year of low sea ice conditions means it may appear there are more whales available for harvest this year. Larry Cava lives in Savoonga and says he felt lucky for a whale to have been taken on the first day of the season. The community harvested two large bowheads last December. It is 11 minutes after 12 o'clock. Good afternoon.